Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
All right, I'm trying to figure out how to put the new clock on.
Yeah. And I also know that your camera allows limited visibility of our studio. I wish you could see Dan O'Brien fighting with this difficult piece of technology that I hold in my hand, Mike. It is a 1970s Radio Shack timer. That all it does, it has buttons on it that says start, stop, and clear. And you would have think he was building a watch. He was
you
just.
You would think. You would you think. Think.
You would have thought he was building a watch with a 17-jewel movement. Did you get it going?
Yes, I did.
Atta boy. Very.
We
proud
have many.
Of you.
Do we have multiple entrants? Why is Pony? Pony looks like he's wearing a real shirt.
Yeah, I think he has a job interview
stacked
today.
Stacked and packed.
Do you have a job interview today, Pony?
No.
It's okay, Pony.
But you know,
they all got a double dip somewhere.
If you, I mean, the only reason I ask if you're legitimately, wearing a nice shirt to our show, that's really
Mike,
that's improvement.
You don't see the wrinkles.
Oh, really?
I mean, the guy looked like he was thrown down
an
alley.
Well, if it wasn't wrinkled, it would be way too big for him.
Yes.
Those wrinkles take up the fabric
unless
that make him
very important.
Unless
that's linen, and I can't tell from
linen.
Big show on TMOS. We are going to be joined later on during the show by Jonathan Goldsmith. Do you recognize that name? Anyone? Anyone in the audience? Do you recognize the name Jonathan Goldsmith? I bet you don't. This is probably one of the most iconic characters in the history of advertising. This is the most interesting man in the world, the Dos Equis guy. I was scouring over some of the literature about Mr. Goldsmith, who has lived an amazing life and has been a journeyman actor and hit it big with the Dos Equis commercials. But the fact is that I want to get into why they changed, why they pivoted.
He's also set, Mike, and dovetail what you just said. The idea that now he's with a tequila company.
Yes.
And he has this essentially kind of the same persona. And there's a little gray area within the advertising world that, as far as a campaign and the words and you can trademark all of that. But a setting and a look.
The notion.
You can't own, right?
Yeah.
You can't own.
And that tequila company, this obscure tequila company, has really grabbed the reins and absorbed all of that momentum and made it happen.
So we're going to talk to him later on in the show. We are looking forward to that. I'm looking to see how I can put my timer on here because I'm not going to do the show.
Any advice for him, Dan?
Well, I have that. That's what I don't want that. I don't want that. I want the other one.
You want the other display?
The other display.
Okay, let me do it on my end, Mike.
Oh, there it is. I got it.
You found it. See, Mike, it's technology.
As soon as you said display, I knew to swipe left, and I knew that would work.
So, yeah, stopwatch for old people.
Yeah, it's a great one, isn't it? Love it.
Stopwatch for old people.
Stopwatch for old podcasters.
Old podcasters.
I've made a few changes in the studio, and so that's what I'm doing. Now, Oscar mentioned during the show yesterday, we were crazy because he was coming back from vacation.
Backed.
We actually didn't get around to everything I wanted to get around to. That you had a run-in. A personal contact with Rob's daughter.
Yeah.
When you're traveling. Now, you don't travel Leesburg, so I'm kind of surprised.
Shot in the wild.
Yes, wild.
The Northern Virginia Brew Fest, the summer edition, was this past weekend. And of all places,
Bull Run.
I would expect to see a SPIWAC. It would be Rob there, but not his daughter, right?
No, well, we wouldn't have somebody underage that would
be
prowling the hallways.
Though, as I think around...
Field.
12:30, I stumbled over to what I didn't know was a Rita's Italian Ice stand.
JR's Italian Ice.
Yeah, JR's. I'm sorry. Yeah. Italian Ice, all the same in my eyes. And I said,
You hate the Italians,
Can I get a Gatorade? and then I hear, Oscar? And I look over.
You were looking for Gatorade in the middle of the day. I'm confused.
Mike. I already had three 7+ ABV beers. Like I was, I needed some sort of.
So you were so looped in the middle of the day that you needed to water it down.
I was drinking responsibly, Mike.
It didn't open till 11.
Yeah.
Okay, so you started right away.
Tickets. You get to get served quickly. That's all you gotta do. You
get there early.
So I said
one of the events that you and Chad have done that I'm very jealous of that Virginia Brewfest. Fantastic.
Mike, one of the greatest memories of you riding on the cart, as we mentioned before, saying make way for the privileged rolling around that entire perimeter with Chad on the back.
Is that why they put that up there?
Yes. Yes.
I was wondering about that. That was when we were cruising. That was the one that I did show up at.
Yeah, one of the greatest. I was like, is that Mike O'Meara and Chad Duke? And then you guys are zooming around this entire roof, just making laps like a NASCAR, back and forth.
It's exactly the ingredients that ends up with a senior citizen driving into a fruit stand.
Were we being driven?
Oh, okay. Yes. Right. Thank God.
Yes, you were being driven.
Make way for the privileged. I had to be loaded if I said that.
Yeah.
Make way for the privileged. So,
or it had to be a long time ago.
I see Julia Spiewak, and I was like, Julia? She goes, hi. So I give her a quick hug. She was there with one of her friends.
Can I ask you this?
Yes.
When you said, hi, Julia, did she say, hi, Oscar, or hi, Mr. Zeballos, or hi, Oscar Santana, or was it just, was the hi the one that I would still get, even though it's my show? She would go, hi.
Mike,
because she really wouldn't know what to address me as.
I'm going to say something I never thought I'd say. She was a little young adult, very polite, said hello, introduced. It was. I actually was so shocked.
She's made a turn in the past 12 months that we're really eager for Robert to make, which is she is being so human lately. She's
human
fun to be
word.
With, and she
human
makes eye contact,
word.
And she talks. And meanwhile, Robert is... I'm 14.
There you go.
So yeah,
so
I mean,
hating the world, hating everybody.
Oh, and the world
noticed.
Is against him. I'm against him. Robert, could you, for the first time in 2.5 days, take your nose out of the Nintendo and take out the trash? Such a little a-hole.
Oh my God! So Julius made a turn. That's
she
wonderful.
Broke
she
out
had
of that
only
cocoon.
A brief time
Mike.
Where she was a little antisocial.
That antisocial, anti-society, maybe a cutter cocoon. She has become a butterfly.
Yes,
she
right.
is. She is totally was
let him roll.
Is polite and. I think it might have been a $4 Gatorade, as they are at all these events, right?
It was a $2
$2 Gatorade. Who knows? I had a 20. I said, oh, I was so surprised and excited
so
and happy.
She saw you in a state of like total bakedom if you had those ABVs. You know,
Mike, you know, even when I'm hammered, I'm not like really a mess until probably 3 p.m. if I started
well,
11.
Well, you're never unkind.
Yes,
that's
yes,
the thing.
Yes.
You can be totally
Mike, those
hammered.
Are
you're
some
never
high praise right
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
never unkind.
And
no, if I was probably in the condition he was in, I would probably walk up to Julie and go, well, have you gotten your attitude right, young lady?
Sure is hot. Sure is
no,
hot.
I'd be happy, Mike, if I saw her and I was
yeah,
loaded
yeah,
and I
yeah.
hadn't said
yes.
that. Mm-hmm. Julia, Rob's done. She's like, get him out of here. Get him out of here right now.
So all of a sudden, my cell phone goes, ba-ding,
yes.
ba-ding, 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 ba-ding.
$2 Gatorade.
And so Oscar tipped her. $18 on a $2 Gatorade.
That's so
and
sweet.
And I immediately replied, was he hammered?
That's so sweet.
To which Julia replied, couldn't tell, brief encounter.
Yes.
Brief
so you
encounter.
You covered it well.
In and out, Mike. Yeah,
is but she was, working for Rita's Hard
Lemon? JR.
It's JR's, Mike.
What is it?
Rita died in a fire crash.
There are like, between Virginia and Georgia, there are 5,000 JR's everything. What is this incarnation?
This incarnation
of
is actually
R. What is
this?
This
is
one?
Owned by one of our neighbors. He lives two houses up, and I mentioned him on a show not
the hell
long
is
ago.
That siren going off there.
That's the fiery ice.
It's Dan O'Brien's clock alarm.
Oh my God! Wow.
But Julia fell into this job 2 years ago because of our neighbor, and she's scooping Italian ice. Her home base is the outlet mall in Leesburg. But
so they take it on the road. They
but the festival
yes.
not only is busy, but also a little bonus pay for her because it's
so it's called what JR's Italian Ice.
Mm-hmm. And you can spot the blue hair.
Look for the blue. I saw the blue hair, Mike, and I paid the blue hair.
Yes, pay the blue hair.
Is it good stuff, the Italian
it's great.
Ice?
It's great.
Yeah, and they sell great Gatorade.
Get a scoop
they
of lemon.
Gatorade. Do they sell other soft drinks there, too?
I saw the Gatorades lined up. That's what caught my eye. And then I sauntered on over. And then I saw Julia. And then I overpaid for it because I said, I guess those tips go to her. That's what I heard the rumor was. So then
she split it with Jillian Chubbuck. So Jillian Chubbuck loves you as well.
And then I saw some other.
Is that the Chubbuck daughter?
That's the Chubbuck daughter, Mike. Yeah,
that's the Chubbuck daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Chubbuck daughter?
What are you talking about, Mike? She's going to blossom into a beautiful woman.
You be very careful.
Wow. I can say that with all due respect.
Well, you know what? The due respect is not that much.
That's pretty cool.
So, Mike, I've looked at the business plan of the JR's Italian Ice. They sell Gatorade, and they also sell bottled water at a minuscule profit.
Yeah, well, it's the suburbs, so at least they don't get locked up for it like they do in D.C.
But the bottom,
those black kids that got locked up and cuffed for selling water.
Mm-hmm.
How is that not ridiculous?
It's America.
I mean, that's insane.
America.
Yeah, you don't got a permit. Just kidding. They turned around and got him a job, Mike. I saw it on the nightly news last night.
Did they really?
Yes.
So it was a happy ending for
happy
all.
Happy ending. Everybody gets paid.
Those two young men that were cuffed in D.C. by the suburban police officers who've lived in Warrenton their entire lives. Tell me that's not the drill. So I swear to God. My father's father, my daddy's daddy. They were all D.C. cops. Yes, sir. Yeah.
A follow-up story in which they literally turned lemons into lemonade.
That's right. Those little enterprising young men will be getting jobs now at a local McDonald's. We're very happy about that.
And now let's interview the cop who has lived for the last 5 years at the Rip Van Winkle Motel in Warrenton.
I figured they was doing something wrong. I didn't know about that. I got in my truck, drove out of precinct number 8. Hell with that. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. We don't like any of that crap happening around here. What are you doing? You got a permit for that?
What are you doing?
Anyway, that's right. Cuff him, Daniel. There we go. Absolutely. Anyway.
It's just a beautiful encounter. And then today, briefly, Rob mentioned that his poor wife was awoken last night.
Not awoken, but I was getting ready for bed. Yes. It was about 20
right,
minutes
so
after 9.
Let me see. Okay, so Carrie Spiewak was, somebody woke her up. That could be anywhere between 7 a.m., and 7 a.m. the next day.
I was essentially complimenting Rob on how, like, clearly everybody grows up, people go through phases, right?
Right.
Yes.
And he said, explain to him what happened last night.
Well, the thing is that Julia is still dragging her feet on getting her driver's license. I mean, and once we can
She's never been into driving.
Not at all.
From the very beginning.
So it's like 9:20. We're winding up the evening. I'm getting ready for bed. And Carrie gets up. And I said, where are you going? She says, you got to take Julia's Jackson's house. I said, you're driving it. Why? She said, she asked. I said, you don't need to say yes.
Is she 17 yet?
Julia will be 17 in December, so she's 16 and a half.
All right. So you're getting kind of antsy, I would imagine, about her getting the driver's.
Wanted to get the driver's. She will be driving this Friday with my mother. She's going out on a lesson.
Mike.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
Let's not bury the lead. She's asking her mom to take her to a dude's house
Jackson's
at 9:20 in the evening.
Get together. Oh, but there was it was a group get together. The group get together on Sunday night was at my house.
Question
Evie
is,
was there and all the.
What time does that night end?
She was home by 11, which is her curfew right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a little odd to start that night. That
She worked till 9. She closed up the Italian ice
Mike,
stand.
Do you think.
Oh, okay. So she's going
Do you think
work.
It's appropriate for women of that age? Or young ladies, really. They're not women yet. They're still learning the way of the world.
And by the way, here's a bonus for the Chubbuck one.
To be out till 11 p.m. I remember my sister.
You know, I'm the father of a 20-year-old that was just talking about the restrictions on cases of beer that they can bring into Bonnaroo. So you're probably talking to the wrong guy here, you know, with all that. And she says, Dad, there's just one night that I think U2 was playing, and I'm not into U2 like the other people, and I had to go to bed at midnight. I'm like, okay, thank you.
All right.
Thank you for sharing that.
99 bucks. I think as a
guys,
summertime.
Right?
Yeah, I think
girls,
so. But 16-year-old,
still learn the way of the world.
Know
so
the kids
she's
around, I think
off of work at 9 o'clock, and she's essentially going to this house after work.
A dude's house.
Yeah.
A dude's house. Was there parental supervision?
Yes, and there was the other.
I'm sure they're in the basement.
And the gang was all there. Evie was there.
Watching Netflix and trying to chill.
Hey! He's such a jerk.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There was many a nights I was like, I'm going over and parents are going to be home. And they were home, but they were hammered upstairs.
What time was she home? She was home at 3 o'clock in the morning. Oh no.
Listen,
oh,
no. I don't care how many $18 tips you give. You can't say that about my daughter.
That's right.
Period. I'm not saying she's doing that, Rob. I'm talking about myself.
Okay.
I was a younger man. That's why I don't trust anyone.
All I know is my daughter went to Bonnaroo, and they had, I think, two girls and two guys, and then one other person, and they all slept in the same tent.
Yeah, but
hey, more like Bonnaroo, am I right, Leah?
Hey,
how dare you?
Watch that, you. Yeah,
unless
you
learned it from watching him.
Unless you went to Bonnaroo. You can only say you've done it.
Right.
Now,
so what time? She really did get home at 11 o'clock?
Yeah, she came in and woke us up.
Really?
What time was your... I remember my curfew being like 10 o'clock, even when I was 17.
Yeah, but she's trustworthy.
Oh, but my sister's was 8. She couldn't go out. She might as well have been of a different faith.
I imagine his sister is being like Maria in West Side Story, in the virginal light dress.
Yeah.
I could not wait to get my driver's license, and I could not wait to take my dad's Satellite Sebring, his Plymouth Satellite
Sebring. The Shaggin' Wagon.
Beautiful.
Nobody knows a Satellite Sebring, but everybody knows a Roadrunner. So think Roadrunner. That's what it really looked like. Dad went through his sports car phase.
Right.
He had a Cougar XR7,
He
had a Plymouth Satellite Sebring, and Joey's dad had a Delta 88 with an 88 engine.
Yeah.
In it.
What's
a and Delta we would race 88? Up Route 2, a 2-lane road, hoping no one was coming in the other direction. You
know? And then fingers crossed.
One night we raced on a back road of South Glastonbury, and I knew the corner was coming up, and Joey didn't. And I looked in my rearview mirror, and I just saw the car spinning through a fence on a person's property.
Wow.
Sunny days.
A Delta 88? Damn. Yeah. That is a car. Whoa. Yeah,
that was a car, wasn't it? He kicked my ass while he was in the Plymouth. I was quick off the line, but he would always be like, and just move up.
The thing about the Delta 88, it was so light.
I love old cars.
When great you gas
see,
mount.
When you see their curb weight, it says 3,500 pounds.
Yes,
it's just like, whoa, that's a Hummer H2.
In high
Delta
school, Brad.
And then Joey, finally, when he got older, he got a job before I did. He got a good job. I forgot what he was doing. And then he bought himself one of those little Datsun pickup trucks.
Yeah.
The first really mini pickup truck. And we used to go out in front of the ground round and turn the one thing on that, the wiper fluid that came out was on
squirter.
A little spigot that came out of the hood, and we could turn it forward, and it was a pencil thin stream of water, and we would go down to the ground round and wait for people to come out at closing time and squirt them, and they wouldn't know what was happening.
That's great.
Oh, so that Datsun is awesome for its time. Whoa, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
In high school, Brad had the biggest car that GM ever built, the 69 Impala.
Oh,
and at one point, we had, I think, 9 people in it, and it was not all that crowded. And then it was the summer after Brad graduated, he read somewhere how to make rocket fuel, and he put rocket fuel in the Impala, and it ran great for a little while, and then it didn't run at all.
When you were in that Impala, when you had 9 guys in the Impala, the cool thing about that, all of you had blue hair.
It's the Michael O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
How nice to see you again, Mr. Blair. And congratulations. Children must be very proud.
Well, I hope so.
You've 3, haven't you?
That's right.
Oh, how lovely. Such a blessing, children. Please do sit down.
Thank you.
Have we shown you how to start a nuclear war yet?
No.
Oh, first thing we do, apparently. Then we take away your passport and spend the rest of the time sending you around the world.
Well, you obviously know my job better than I do.
Yes, well, you are my 10th Prime Minister, Mr. Blair. My first, of course, was Winston Churchill. He sat in your chair in frock coat and top hat. He was kind enough to give a shy young girl like me quite an education.
I can imagine.
With time, one has hopefully added experience to that education and a little wisdom, better enabling us to execute our constitutional responsibility. To advise, guide, and warn the government of the day.
Advice which I look forward to receiving.
Yes, well, we'll save that for our weekly meetings. If there's nothing else, I believe we have some business to attend to.
Of course, Your Majesty. My party has won the election, and so I come now to ask your permission to form a government.
No, Mr. Blair. Mr. Blair, I ask the question. The duty falls upon me as your sovereign to invite you to become Prime Minister and to form a government in my name. If you agree, the custom is to say yes.
Yes.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Wow.
Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We're live from the Fiber Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. We are a worldwide podcast and radio show with loyal listeners who get it. And if you are here, you're in the know. You're on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now.
When?
And get our show all day, every day.
Ouch.
You can reach us especially tomorrow at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673, the Mike O'Mara Show on now. And we're delighted to have you with us. The show today brought to you by Texture. I love magazines. You love magazines. You want to read more magazines. Texture is the way to do it. This is an app that goes on your tablet or your smartphone, and it gets you over 200 magazines, all the good ones, all the ones that are worthwhile. It's totally searchable. It's got daily recommendations, exclusive interactive features, and more. Texture, normally $9.99 a month, but if you sign up right now at texture.com/TMOS, you will get a 14-day free trial. Texture gives you access to every magazine you desire for less than a few individual subscriptions, plus the convenience of electronic access, which means no clutter.
And you know what?
You don't have to stack up smelly, dirty, sticky magazines.
Summertime, Mike, no sticky magazines. But when you're going to the pool and going to the beach, the last thing you want to do is lug a magazine. You're bringing your phone anyway. You can read all these magazines while you're baking in the sun.
Exactly. And yeah, it's wonderful. I love it. And it was one of the top 2016 iPad apps. And, you know, if you'd like to start your free trial, go to texture.com/TMOS right now. They're offering our listeners a 14-day free trial, and it's texture.com/TMOS. That's 14 days to try Texture absolutely free. Get busy reading way more for way less at texture.com/TMOS, and we thank you in advance. It's a wonderful, wonderful app. It's changed the way I read magazines, and I read more magazines. Now, that last clip, which British royal family show of the week is that one?
That's The Queen.
The Queen. The Queen.
You were talking highly of Helen Mirren yesterday, so I went trying to find some good clips of her.
That's an old clip of Helen
Mirren. A classic.
Mirren. Yeah, that's classic. That's maybe about 10 or 12 years old. Yeah. I wanted to find something from her, from some of her more mainstream fun stuff, but you know what? She's just not that good in National Treasure.
Oh, no, no. I've got one that's great for her. If you want mainstream, get her, get that clip from her in Caligula.
Oh, that is good.
That's fantastic.
I tried that. It was mostly sounds and not much dialogue.
Yeah, she's walking through the orgy room.
A lot of analog.
Anyway,
orgy room.
Orgy room. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. A little bit later on in the program, we'll be chatting with Jonathan Goldsmith. The most interesting. I don't always drink beer, but when I do, it's Dos Equis. First question I'll have, I have to ask him before we get into his incredible life will be why they made a change. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
And
you hold on to that. You get that. I think ad agencies have to justify their existence, to be perfectly honest with you. But who knows?
His new campaign, you know, he's promoting a book, but his new campaign with Astral Tequila is, I told you I don't always drink beer. I prefer tequila. Same look, same setup.
It's such a great pivot.
Oh, it's awesome.
And also, and it's so iconic, that character. I'm really,
you gotta tell
I'm
him,
fascinated by the guy.
You got to tell him that your dad and you went and saw him in a movie.
Yes, I will be very excited about talking
really?
About
yes.
that.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Yeah, I'll tell you when he gets on. So we'll be talking to Jonathan Goldsmith a little bit, about 10 minutes from now on the Mike O'Mara Show. So welcome, welcome. I neglected yesterday when I was sharing the Tales of the Road, and we want to get to Oscar's rat in a second here, too.
Yes.
I neglected to tell you that early on in the trip, I think it was the day after we left Savannah, and we were in the we're in the Carolinas. I'm not sure whether it was south or north. Bottom line, they both have Confederate flags on the side of the road.
Hey, they're both so great places to be, Mike.
Yes. Mm-hmm. By the way, the one that I went, the biggest one that I saw, and it could have been in Georgia, South Carolina, or North Carolina, maybe even Virginia, Southern Virginia. It was the Confederate battle flag, which
that's
is
different.
A Confederate flag. Then it's got white, and then it's got the end of it is a tip of red. And apparently that is the Confederate battle flag. And it's frustrating. I read an article about a business. I think I'm not sure where it was, where they've got an ice cream parlor, and they abutted a piece of property where the guy had this gigantic Confederate flag up, and there's nothing this business owner can do about it. And anybody that sees their business from the road, it looks as though that
they're
he's flying the Confederate flag. So, and I'll tell you, I've seen more of that flag in the last 3 months than I've ever seen before. It's stunning. I can't imagine why. Anyway, moving
well,
right
I see
along.
It every day in the back of Pony's car.
Yeah, yes.
He's got the one hanging in the back of his car.
That's right. History, not hate.
Yeah,
thank
mine's
you very
ironic.
Much. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's Pony's ironic car.
Because yes, he's got that big whale tail on his car. It's
yeah,
Fast
yeah,
and
he's
furious.
Got a bunch of those. Yeah, a yeah, bunch of ironic bumper
it's
stickers.
It's the anti-General Lee.
That's right.
He calls it like, the General Grant.
Yeah.
My favorite one is the one, the really small one he's got on his right bumper that says, "Don't look for motorcycles." Anyway, yeah, just a car filled with irony, the way that goes. So we're cruising, I think it's South Carolina, and we get a, we're just driving along, and you know, I'm doing my little thing where Carla's doing all the wheel work. And
sure.
I'm
doing, doop, 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 what is your main pastime doop, doop. When she's driving? Do you screen time? Do you force conversation?
Pool. I play pool.
No,
I play
Mike,
pocket
you can't
pool.
Play
no,
pocket
no.
pool.
No, I to be honest with you, my main pastime is my little fern.
Oh, nice.
I Facebooked my way from Georgia all the way up to the great state of Maine. And I know, you know, I didn't get any real knowledge, but I will tell you that after Facebooking all the way from Georgia up to the Maine state line, I probably know more about every single food truck that Trip Affleck has visited. And I know the great details, and I know the good ones, and I know the bad ones.
Has he gotten birthday cakes reinstated at his office yet?
No, he has not. I follow
well,
Trip more than
I've
I follow
kicked in on. I was in on the Kickstarter for that, so I'm in for $80.
Is there a food truck, I guess? I imagine if you're on the road, food trucks are really for the city, right?
Sure.
Well, I think they've sprouted in the suburban areas, too, where they go out to
but he's following Trip.
He's following,
you know,
I get
By the way,
that.
You hear about all these, you know, see shows about food trucks, and you see Seattle with the big food truck mm-hmm. scene, and then you say, mm-hmm. I have never been, you know, I've never been in contact with one of those truly great food trucks. You see them on the Food Network all the time.
Where,
you know, somebody will be going, Pete was a former graduate of the Culinary Institute of America who was a sous chef at the Four Seasons, decided one day that he would just buy a stinky truck and serve gourmet food right out the back. I never bump
There's
into those.
There's one
you know?
That lives on Arizona Avenue that I sometimes pass on the way to work, and it's called Curry in a Hurry.
Yes. Curry in a Hurry?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
it might
I know,
be
I've
something.
Seen that a zillion times.
Yeah, uh-huh.
There's one called Meg Rolls, which are just basically big egg rolls, but inside of them, they're phenomenal. It could be anything.
Is it owned by Meg?
It could be a breakfast roll.
The
it could
only
be
great
a Big Mac
truck,
roll.
The only great food truck I've ever come across is the Bratwurst King. Our friend,
you know,
Wolf,
he was ahead
of
the food truck phenomenon.
Yes, yes,
right?
And he's got refrigerators full of Versts.
He originally sold out of a tank. A lot of people don't know that.
Yes, a Tiger tank.
Yeah, exactly.
German Tiger tank. Which is a stretch for him because he's Austrian.
Right.
You
know?
Mike.
And, I think it's not that much of a stretch.
But it was such a scene when you'd see Wolf driving down the street. He's got the little Michael Dukakis hat on. he's coming down there to sell his hot dogs.
And,
and his pea soup.
To get a tank street legal in Virginia is almost impossible.
It is.
Oh, man.
And no place to put the stickers.
Well, you know what? Will you do me a favor? I know it's next to impossible, but, you know, like many things in his life, please tell Chad that he's got to keep trying. That's the important thing. He's got to pee.
As far as the street legal side of a tank?
Yes. You know, that. Now, that's a guy that would have one, like, next to his pool in Oakton.
Yeah.
He would probably just pull it up there. Look what I got. You know, Princess Dukes. Look what I pulled.
It's the only tank that has a record player in it.
Is Arnold Schwarzenegger? Does he still have his tanks?
By the way, what's the deal with him coming on the show? Is he ever going to come on the show, or is it your comfort zone? Tell me honestly if it would stress you out, because you know that inevitably, when he comes on this show, that we're going to get around to comparing notes on you. You know that's what's going to happen.
I don't have a problem with that. I completely forgot to ask him because we've been so busy with everything else, but I'll ask him today.
Well, just remember, phone call would be nice,
yes.
But optimal if there was ever a chance if he's on vacay doing something to come by.
We did float the idea of doing a big show out west together.
Yes,
so you both are into that.
Don't tip our hand. Don't tip our hand on that one.
Yeah,
but
just,
that might be in the future.
Everyone seemed very interested in that.
Very, very exciting. Yeah. So anyway, it's we're driving along in South Carolina, and I hear... Like, bam. It was not a metallic thump, but it was the kind of thump where I had no idea.
Right.
And Carla said, "What the hell was that?" I said, I had my nose in my phone. I have no idea what was going on. And Carla said, "I think it was a sneaker."
Did she say it with that wonderment?
She said, I think it was a sneaker. I said, oh, my God. For a sneaker, that made an incredible
a high-top sneaker.
Noises. I couldn't believe the
had to be at least a size
that.
11.
Did it feel like an animal, a possum or something like that?
I don't know. I had my nose into Barbara Bannon Mooney at a hot dog stand somewhere in Leesburg, and I had no idea what was going on.
BBM.
I was listening to Merle Rogers ranting and raving about some of the latest tribulations in her life. I didn't understand what was happening. I was watching Tommy Lang talk about a bar that he visited to watch the Penguins game.
No, it was, I don't know. And then we didn't even pay attention to it until I think two stops later. We were in Nashua, New Hampshire.
Right.
Came out to the car and Carla said, oh my God, look at this. And there is a massive dent on the left side of overpriced SUV. And I looked and I saw sneaker, like rubber tracks. So it was either a sneaker or it was one of those pieces of tire that that seems to fly off every 18-wheeler.
Was it dark rubber or was it light rubber?
It was dark rubber. It was
black
rubber.
So it could
rubber.
Be a tire. Yeah.
So it was not a Reebok.
Okay. Oh. Could it have been maybe
I date myself there, Reeboks.
A biker. No, they still make Reeboks.
Yeah, of course.
A biker maybe kicking the car because Carla was too close?
No, because that doesn't happen because when that happens, I brandish my shotgun.
Okay.
And I said, kick away. Kick away if you want to, Festus, but you're going to catch some bird shot in your ass if you do that.
It's like raising
that's
Arizona.
Mike, Festus is much more of showing your age than Reebok. You got to trust me on
that. Or is it Festivus?
It's Festivus.
But it was, you know, that I can report from South Florida to, and somebody Google map it, okay?
I'll do it.
Put Fort Myers to Bangor and tell me what the total mileage is, because that'll tell you how many miles the O'Mara family traveled.
I do too. It's 82 miles.
And the thing is that it was you know, the infrastructure, you know, let me tell you something, Rob.
Yes.
The crumbling infrastructure that needs to be repaired. It does. It's gotten worse.
It's
and
horrible.
I terrified my wife on the George Washington Bridge. When she's driving along, she's a little bit bridge phobic, and I was driving along and I looked over and I said, hey Carla, holy rust, Batman, take a look at that. And she looked at the side of the George Washington Bridge that just looks like, seriously, it's all rot. I mean, that is the scariest looking bridge. Yes. Do you have the mileage?
Yes, I do have, Mike. Distance wise, we're talking about 25 hours if you drove straight, right? So 1 hour,
right.
1 day and 1 hour. Miles, you've got 1,667 miles. 1,667 miles. And when you look at it on a map, look, I know we teased Mike, a 4 day trek. It is the length of this country, basically.
Oh my
God.
It was
like
it
a
was
profile
lengthy.
Of the United States of America.
It was lengthy, and what's happening with the guest? Rob's way too long. This is what I know. This is the way it rolls.
He says it's all good. He's giving
us a big
thumbs
take
up.
A break. Let's take
thumbs
a break. Up. We will take a break, and when we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it's the most interesting man in the world, Jonathan Goldsmith, on the Mike O'Mara Show. We'll be right back.
Joe, I like to think of the Moore Broadcast Network as a family.
Well, who's the father?
Well, that would be Mike O'Mara, obviously.
Well, who's the mom?
Gotta be Katie from Cake and Cookies.
Who's the drunk uncle?
Well, that would be the rest of us.
I would have gone with Tony Perkins.
Check us out, robandjoeshow.com, iTunes, and on the new Mike O'Mara Show app.
For more information, visit us at moorebroadcasting.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. That was not looking for a thumbs up. That was looking for a time that we have, Mr. Goldsmith.
He's calling right now.
We'll get it down. He's
calling in right now,
Mike.
Show. Right now.
That's not answering my question again. Is how long we have Mr. Goldsmith for? That's what I was asking.
15 to 20.
Thank you. Okay. Welcome back. Thanks a lot. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Amazon. You're the best, guys. You're doing it. We love that you are following our instructions because you're buying things and you're saying things. That's how we make Amazon work for everybody. Just remember, if you buy something, say something. You got to get the word out. When you visit Amazon, do it through our website or our app and tell somebody. Rob's got the latest purchase. What? Did somebody send that to you?
No, I bought this. You can't find Jelly Babies, Barrett's Jelly Babies, in America. It's a British candy. And they have them so cheap on Amazon. So today I brought in jelly candy for everybody to share. But if you want something obscure, it's on Amazon.
Shopping Amazon.com this way changes nothing for you, means the world to us. When you use Amazon, please access it via TMOS. Use the app or go through our website and tell us about it. Thank you so much. Do we have our guest standing by?
We do.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello,
gives
Mike.
Me great pleasure to welcome Jonathan Goldsmith to the program. Jonathan, how are you?
I'm fine, Mike. Thank you for having me on this morning.
Well, I will tell you, it is a true thrill. Before we get to your book and your incredibly interesting life, I have to share with you that I think I'm like a lot of people that that know you from that iconic role that you had in the commercials for Dos Equis. It's just amazing the life that you have had, and we're thrilled to have you on the show. And I know that you have come out with a wonderful book, The Most Interesting Man in the World, because the fact is that your life was pretty damn interesting when you go from being an actor in Hollywood in all sorts of films and television programs to living out of a truck in Malibu prior to getting the gig for Dos Equis. So we welcome you here, Jonathan. It's great to have you on the show. How you doing today?
I'm doing well. Let me just straighten something out.
Go right ahead.
Sometimes things get exaggerated in the press. I was not living in the back of my truck. It was the night. It was the night before the audition, and I was at a low point financially. So I had driven down from my house up in the High Sierras. I went south to Hollywood. First time in a while I had an audition. Was out of Hollywood for 10 years. So I decided to save some money and just sleep in the back of my old truck in this deserted campground. And that's where that gets a little twisted.
Oh, see, you're PR people. You got to hit them over the head because it really everything I was looking at looked like you were living
always,
out of it. But
I always do.
Jonathan, I want to get to all the interesting things you've done in your life, but I just want to get the Dos Equis stuff out of the way first, if you
okay.
don't mind, sir. The question I would have, and I want to go backwards to the start of it if you'll allow me. The fact is that I remember, I don't get invested. I don't think most Americans really get invested in an ad campaign, but I remember when I read the first time that they were no longer going to be doing The Most Interesting Man in the World. And I rolled my eyes and I said to myself that just the sheer lunacy of that move, of taking, you don't have ad campaigns that come around that become that icon. It's incredible rarefied air.
He was
when
the
they
face
had this, yeah.
of that
and
ad
I was
campaign.
Stunned.
Yeah.
I was stunned when it happens. And reading all the literature about you and your life, I didn't see anything about the end of the run and what happened with that. And I was wondering if you could share some light on that.
Well, sure. I did 9 years of it. And towards, the end of the seventh or the beginning of the eighth year, we heard that they were looking to replace me. And it seems strange for some of the things that you alluded to. I mean, business was booming. The campaign was extremely successful. We were fortunate enough to win every award in commercials. But they decided, for whatever their reasons, and it wasn't mine, that they needed to go younger with somebody. I believe that, and this is just my feelings, I know that they made some deal with ESPN football, and they just thought that a younger person would be more attractive to that demographic.
Well, by the way, getting in bed with ESPN, great financial move, because that company's doing gangbusters. No, I'm sorry, I'm being sarcastic. I apologize. I hear the youth movement, that's just, because it's still, I would have given that campaign 10 more years standing on its head. That's just the way I look at it.
That's very nice of you. A lot of people were surprised. But, it was not the end of the campaign. As you know, they've gone on with another fellow. And
the one that I don't know?
Right.
He's not making the impact, in our opinion, that you did, clearly.
He's not as interesting.
Well, whatever. He's apparently a very accomplished fellow, and I wish him good luck in it. But they sent me to Mars, and let me share with you my good fortune.
It's great last
dad. My good fortune, because I came back with my next venture. It's called Astral.
Way to get it in there, Jonathan. There you go.
Well, I
absolutely
want to. It's tequila, and it's a very special tequila. So,
all right. Well, we're all tequila drinkers here.
How about 90 proof? Does that sound?
Oh my God, that is interesting.
Let me get a plug in for your book, Jonathan. We're with Jonathan Goldsmith. His book is "Stay Interesting." I don't always tell stories about my life, but when I do, they are true and amazing. And the The fact that my daughter has just gotten out of school and has made the tragic mistake of pursuing an acting career, it's always fascinating for me to have actors on the show, because I'm looking at your credits. You've been on so many shows, so many television programs, and so many films. But as you write in your own book, you were never the main guy, but you were a working actor for a good long time, and I would imagine that's a pretty tough way to make a living, where you're going from job to job to job.
Well, it's very difficult. What started a union 60 years ago, and I think the average income 10 years later was $2,600. Tell your daughter $2,600 for a year, and that included start. So it's very, very difficult. And an actor's life is full of close calls in many cases, a lot of ifs, ands, buts, and it's difficult. The rejection is ongoing, and I talk about it in my book. So being able to triumph some 60 years later, I wasn't a kid when I read for this thing. I didn't know if I could make a comeback, and I'm very fortunate. You're talking to a lucky guy.
Let me ask you an acting question, then I'll let the guys in, because I know they want to ask you some questions too. But sure. I was reading, I think it was Jeffrey Tambor, or reading an account of a clinic, an acting class that he gave. And one of the things that struck me is he said, acting is a confidence game. And there is no more confident persona than your character that you created for the Dos Equis. And then you tell a story that's just amazing about Barack Obama was in love with your character, and you went up to Camp David, and you had that first meeting with him. It's just, if you want to read anything in a book, that's read about his relationship with the former president, because it's absolutely riveting. But the whole aura, at least since you created this character, and even with your movie work, you did a ton of Westerns, you always had that kind of confidence thing. Is that the main deal, no matter what the character is, if you're doing acting, is just to have that confidence, to create that confidence? You talked about it during your audition for Dos Equis. Is that the main ingredient?
Yeah. Well, that's certainly one of them. You have to believe in what you're doing, and that you're gonna show the best you got. And if you're not willing to do that, and you're not willing to make that commitment to step out of the box, to make choices and expand on them, it's not going to happen. Yeah, you do need that. He's absolutely right.
Well, when you talk confidence, it's hard to beat the confidence of some of the great Hollywood greats. And when I was going through your IMDb, Jonathan, you've been on everything. But one thing that jumped out is that you were shot by John Wayne. How great is that? And when you got a chance, it was his last movie and one of my favorites, The Shootist. But when you were on set with John Wayne, what did you take away from that and being around him, who is a walking legend?
Well, he is. He fills the space all around him with incredible energy, and he brings to it so many of the feelings of the Star System and Yesteryear and great films. And it was kind of a cute story. I played a gunslinger, and I wanted to take on the legend of the boarding house, crash through the window. He shoots me. I go down. I'm not dead. He shoots me 7 more times in the head. Each time a blood capsule hits my forehead, shot by a prop man just off camera, leaving a wound and a welt. After 7 times, I was getting a massive headache. The director came over to me. He's a great director. He made his fame and directed The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked down at me and he said, "Kid, what are they paying you for this?" And I told him the next day he doubled it.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Go ahead.
He did say, if it's any consolation, everyone that Duke killed became a star. And 40 years later, he was right. Yeah.
You know, it's so amazing, because when you think about, you talk about what you did during your audition for Dos Equis, but it's ultimately the look. The look they use, and the credibility you have. And what's strange, and this is right off the top of my head, but I'm thinking of those spots you did, and I think you talk about a believability, and you would look at these silly commercials for Dos Equis where you're doing these amazing things surrounded by these beautiful babes and then going to Mars at the end. There was. It's weird to use the word credibility in that same context, but they were credible. Everybody that looked at those ads, you say to yourself, "Yeah, that looks like the guy that would pull that crap off." You know, it's pretty funny. It's pretty funny. It really is when you think about it.
Well, you've got to believe it. If you believe it inside, and you bring truth to it, and don't comment on it, but bring your inner truth to it, it worked. And that's what an actor has to do. Tell your daughter she's got to believe in what she's doing and not comment on it, but live it through thought.
Yeah, and she was talking about the preparation and doing preparation, and she's on the right path, so I'm excited for her. Oscar, I know you had a question. Yeah,
Jonathan, while you say your success came a little later in life,
Later.
Yes. What kept you, the sheer perseverance of going in for these auditions and continue working as an actor, especially in the world, you just talk about believing in yourself where somebody can put up a YouTube video and they're famous within, 15 minutes.
Instantly.
The idea of actually, persevering throughout this time and then coming out on top in my eyes, that's in itself is a story. What is it? Was there something that just helped you continue down that path? Because a lot of people would have given up.
Absolutely. And that's what this book is all about. It's really about a love affair I had with my father. My father was a phys ed teacher and a coach and a wonderful man that inspired lots of kids, especially his son. He was wonderful. He was always there for me. I had a very tempestuous youth. He was very supportive. My folks were divorced. I had a rough time. And he always told me, he said, kid, if it's going to happen, it's up to you. You got to make it happen. Be a participant in your journey. Don't watch life go by like so many people do. It's like a parade. They live vicariously through other people. He says, jump in, be a participant, go for it, and most of all, never give up. And that's what sustained me, really, my father's words to me and his support. And I did want it. I wanted it very badly. So in spite of all the rejections and the close calls, I never gave up. And I think that's the message of the book. Know what you want, go get it, and don't quit.
I love that. We're talking to Jonathan Goldsmith. The book is Stay Interesting. I don't always tell stories about my life, but when I do, they're true and amazing. There is a bit of, I have to keep this radio friendly here because we of our radio affiliates, but I will say there is a bit of, cock-a-doodle-doo smithery in this in this book as well. Where how do I put this gently, Jonathan? You were no stranger to female companionships. Do you have any particular interludes that stand out even in this book or outside of your book in your life of being a swordsmith?
Well, that's really putting it gently, Mike.
He's a pro. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm here all week. Thank you.
There are some very famous and wonderful memories that I have, certainly, and I don't want to dwell on any of them because this is not what the book is about. They are just moments in my past, but I did have a very special relationship with Tina Louise, who was just a wonderful lady, and
Ginger,
numerous
everybody.
Other women, a couple of international stars, and it's all in the book. But the book is about more than that. But it
it's
is
about the journey.
Memories.
Yeah.
It's about the journey.
It's the journey, and I know, being a red-blooded American male, if I can read an excerpt about a journey to the bedroom of Tina Louise, I'm all in. I'm sorry. I get excited about that. That's very exciting.
Can I ask you, Jonathan? I'm sorry.
But
one more question about your character of the most interesting man. I read that you based it on your friend Fernando Lamas. And is that true?
Indeed.
And you used to sail with him?
Fernando, I met when he directed me in something, and we became good friends. We formed a production company, and I lived on a sailboat. So he would frequently come down with his wife, who was Esther Williams, as you may know.
Well, the way you just throw that away, that you lived on a sailboat. I just wanted to throw that away. You are a cool guy. No, they picked the right guy for the gig. Go ahead. Sorry I interrupted. Go ahead. You were talking about
Fernando. He was the greatest raconteur, Lothario, that I had ever met. Charming, very, very funny. So when I sat there looking at 350 to 400 Juan Valdez lookalikes, these handsome young Latinos. I said, Jesus, they made a mistake. What am I going to do to make them laugh? And I thought about Fernando, and that's what I use. Mike, can I tell my friends and fans how they can follow me? Because I'm on this book tour.
Absolutely. Yeah. We love having you on the show. It's a delight. You go ahead and you plug anything you want on this show, Jonathan. Go right ahead.
I'd like to. The Instagram is stay_interesting. And when I get down in your area, wherever that is, I hope that some of your folks will come and say hello and read the book. It's a fun book, and I think it's inspirational. I enjoyed writing it, and I hope that you enjoy reading it. Thank
you. Well,
you
know
guys.
What? It's a delight, and we want to thank you for coming on the program. And really, Jonathan, stay interesting, and I love it. All about perseverance, taking chances, and learning how to live your most interesting life. You know, I love you, and the Astral Tequila's gain is Dos Equis' loss.
Absolutely.
And you are a good man. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming on the program. We appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day and a great life. Go for it.
Go for it, baby. That's right. Thank you very much. That's Jonathan Goldsmith. And by the way, I don't know if we even said this during the interview. He got the gig for Dos Equis, I'm pretty sure, in his late 60s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Yes.
It's also explained in the book, he got it doing a 30-minute improv.
Yeah, about arm wrestling Fidel Castro.
Yes, it's so great.
I was like a sponge. I sapped all this stuff up. It's a great book.
So awesome.
And that's wonderful. And the guests continue tomorrow on the program. I don't know the relation. I am so embarrassed by this. But if you like the program, The Handmaid's Tale, we are going to hopefully be talking to Ann Dowd, who is Aunt... oh, my God. I've lost it. Oh, the character.
Lydia?
Pony. What Aunt Lydia?
Aunt Lydia,
the evil nun wannabe or whatever she is. She's a terrible, horrible person, but she's one of the greatest actresses of all time.
Mike, it's going to be so great.
Dowd.
She said when we booked her, she promised me a tray of my own desserts.
Oh, really? She said that?
No, not really. That's her.
Oh, stop it.
And a kettle frog.
Stop that. I hate that. We'll take a break, come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody.
O'Maracast is your place to talk about everything going on in the More Network. And on this week's show, Gary Stein gets a new companion on The Tony Perkins Show. Gramps gets new roommates on Rob and Joe.
I'm a knock on our door.
And an old friend, Mr. Skin, visits TMOS.
Live stream nudity.
Well, you never miss a trick.
This week, Marcus is joined by Quisp cereal-loving P1, Rob Cox. Download O'Maracast today on the TMOS app, on iTunes, or at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Do you have a business, a product, or a message that the world needs to know about? Well, the best place to do it might be right here. Let us spread the word, your word. Let the Mike O'Mara Show, that's us, get your message out so thousands of like-minded folks can hear it and act on it. You'll reach thousands of friends you didn't even know you had. It's easy to get your message out. Just email us at sales@MikeOMaraShow.com. Big or small business, you will be treated like family. Again, that's sales@MikeOMaraShow.com. Let us spread your word. Now, here's a little behind-the-scenes thing about doing interviews on the radio. What's really, really funny is that this guy's either 80-plus or pushing 80 at least.
Yeah,
I know
he's staring at 80, yeah.
And that, to me, you probably didn't notice it, but for us in the room, we did, and it's one of the funniest moments when a guest is basically telling you that he's done, you know, and it's just like that was such... I don't know whether that was... You know, when you have somebody who's young doing that, I find it a little difficult to take. When a guy is Jonathan Goldsmith and he's 80 and he's going, Mike, if I can just plug the fact where people can get me online, thank you. I've enjoyed my time with you. I have to move on now. Thank you. I appreciate that. When I'm in your town, please come out and join me. That was
I prefer that close to the publicist coming on.
Oh,
and
oh,
saying,
the worst. Oh mm-hmm. my God, the publicist
I do not
on.
Miss that about
oh,
like,
yeah.
just the old, where you go through this funny fun factory and essentially,
like the junkets,
the press junkets, yeah. where you would
oh,
maybe
terrible.
Be you'd be murdering with a guest yes. you love, and he's
and
having
the,
a good time,
guest,
or she's having a good time.
The guest would be loving
yes,
it too.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
And they're like,
yeah.
oh, he's got to go now. She's got to go now. And you're like, hello,
yeah,
we're doing an interview,
doing
here.
A thing here.
Well, it's like, hey, we're rolling, we're having a good time, and the publicist always had this voice too. Well, he's got about three more interviews that he's got to do. It's like, yeah, well,
but on air.
Here's a knitting needle. Yes, on the air. See, coming up. he's got about three more interviews. You guys are really nice, but, you know, he's got to move on. Yeah, here's a knitting needle. Put it in your eye right now as hard as you can. Put it in your eye. Thank you.
It's
Thank you
and it's much. Audible to your entire audience, the worst part.
Yeah, there's no way to get out of it nicely.
I have to be honest with you. I was excited to talk to Jonathan Goldsmith tomorrow. I am already, I asked Rob for to see if he could get Ann Dowd to come on the program because she has been, and because of this relative, I've got to do some research. I've got to know.
And you
got to
figure out, is she cousin Ann?
I don't think so. I think my father was cousins with her father.
Well, it's,
but I don't know what that
means. I look forward to you two working it out because I mentioned that you may be related to her through the Sheehan family.
If she works it out for me,
yeah.
And I may come
or you'll get the cattle prod. No.
Cut your eye out.
Folks, do me a favor. Before you listen to this interview, check out The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, please. It's great.
Please check it out. It's worthy. It's a. Is it Hulu? It's Hulu.
Hulu. Carrie is check so addicted it to on, it. Carrie has never Hulu. Been into a show like this. But I've ever
it
seen.
It is absolutely amazing, and we will have Aunt Liddy on the show tomorrow. It should be a lot of fun. Welcome back to the show. Whoa. I didn't get to this yesterday because I wanted to. Are you ready for your season? How many times do you figure your family and you? Well, no. I don't want to skip ahead to that. I don't want to go to King's Dominion. I want to go to the rat in Oscar's chimney.
Yes!
Let me ask you, Rob Spiewak.
A lot of times, Mike, they intersect. There's rats at King's Dominion.
I got confused. You laughed when we did it yesterday. I did a little stick yesterday. Do you believe that all these dead animals are in his chimney, or do you believe this is simply a ruse to justify his tardiness on the program?
I'm
asking you, Rob Spiewak.
I think it's real. I think it's real. I honestly do. Right. He's not that creative,
Mike. The jury is out. He is that creative. I'll don't know it. I know it more than you.
Yeah, Mike knows
that
it.
Creative.
I'll say that as far as animals or vermin in the home, the rat is the worst, right?
You can deal with this. By the way, let me just interject
No, no,
here.
Moose would be much worse.
I don't dispute the dead animal in the wall.
Yes.
I dispute the timing of the dead. I believe that the dead animal in the wall could have been Saturday morning.
Oh, I see.
That's the point okay. I wanted to
I think
make. That's what
I think that I think that you're miscalculating how long it takes to find a dead animal in a wall.
That's fine. That's
and fine. So this all started last week.
Right.
Where we smelled something disastrous, like in the house.
Come
like
there was moose soup after.
Smell of
the
death.
Smell of death.
Smell of death. Had animal control. Actually, this started 2 weeks ago. That's why this is continuing.
Right.
We had animal control come out when we heard the scratching in the walls, right? So scratching in the walls, finally animal control comes out and frees two squirrels. We think everything's good to go. Life is good, right? Thank you, Mike. Perfect sound.
I remember
sound.
When
Perfect
it was like solved and it was like
solved.
Over and
solved.
Then we heard about it again.
Then the smell started shortly after. We're like,
the smell.
Did a little research. Apparently there could have been an animal that tried to escape between the flu and the actual brick, I would say, that's there. Because
right.
I guess there's space between that. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. So we had animal control come out again.
Nothing worse, Mike, than a squirrel with a sour stomach.
Yes.
Yeah, it's nasty.
Found nothing. Then we said, well, maybe those jerks don't get paid enough. And this is my girl, because she couldn't handle the smell of this dead animal.
Right. Well, she could.
Well, I mean, Mike... I know how much the first quote was $500. I'm like, I'm not paying $500 for something we can deal with for 2 weeks. We're good.
I have an answer to that, though. Rofo could. Rofo could.
Mike, Rofo does.
I could as well.
Yeah, his car.
The stinkmobile?
I just picture this. Welcome to the Rofo-mobile.
Okay. We end up paying, I would say, three different parties to come out. One.
The new Toyota decomposition.
One, a chimney sweep. Or chimney sweep. And that...
Didn't the chimney sweep get the squirrels?
Well, no. But we had to pay for... We didn't think that guy just let people out and caught whatever they caught, right?
Hat?
They didn't actually clean out the place.
What and they Shannon were desiccated, right? The squirrels were desiccated. You
no, mine were alive, the two little guys.
Oh, the little guys.
Yeah.
Were the two... Weren't there two, like, dead
the
things?
That's from a listener.
The chimney sweep is here.
I gotta run to the door.
Stop. You're interrupting him again. I don't have enough time.
I want you both to listen back to the last 90 seconds and then see how much I've talked and how much you've talked, please. Jesus Christ. All right.
He's worse than I am.
So.
Might be a tie.
Essentially, my girl didn't believe anybody that came out, so she hired another company to come out, right? And they say they couldn't find anything. They cleaned up the entire place, and they said they vacuumed everything. We're on the roof with him. Come back down, and this is on Friday afternoon, like evening, really. Essentially, the guy didn't come out till like 6:30. I said, "Can I borrow your flashlight, sir?" And he said, "Yes." So I looked down, and he was right. All I saw was light when the flue was open. Everything was good, right? Then I looked down because our chimney has two different holes in it at the top. Like there are two little guys, which I thought it was an architectural statement.
Two separate flues.
Because there was probably a fireplace upstairs at one point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that till right now, to be honest with you.
Really?
Someone said a boiler or a heater that needed to be let go. So
please continue.
Okay, thank you. So, then I looked down the other hole, right? And I really, really get on top of like a stepping stool and like really put my head in there with a flashlight. And there you see it. There is the ass of an ass that essentially belongs in a rap video of the biggest vermin I've ever seen inside any type of, it wasn't even a trap. I didn't even know if it was a chimney because I didn't know where it was going because it wasn't going to our living room where you could see the other side. It just stops. It stops 25 feet down from the top of the house. Crazy.
What do you mean? You saw the fur?
You see an ass. Basically,
rat
you see
ass.
A furry ass.
A rat's butt?
Yes, that's all you see.
Many people don't give that.
What did he remove? Did he remove some drywall or some...
Okay,
So
at this point, the guy's like, that could be a plastic bag down there. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's a rat's ass, right?
Like a dead rat's ass.
A dead rat's ass, just the caboose sticking out, right? So I say, Shannon, it's getting dark. The mosquitoes are out. Tomorrow I will rig something up and I will lower a camera down there and we will view what's going on in that hole. So I took our security camera. I put it together with a fishing line, the one that you would put the fish wire through the actual wall when you're putting cable together. Mm-hmm. I lower it down, and you get real-time night vision just like you do with a cat, the Winston cam, right?
Yes. That's one.
You do with a cat.
And it was like we're going down to Al Capone's vault, and there was actually something found this time.
Okay, what did you see?
Just gray, dead fur at the bottom of the hole. Now.
But was there a body or was it fur?
A full body. Full body, like full body. And by the way, the entire time this house is still smelled like something died in it or somebody
recently
was murdered
recently deceased
door.
Then. So you're getting the real smell.
Yeah, getting. Now, next question is, can we deal with this? I can. My girl can't. She's freaking out left and right. She said she can't live with something dead in the wall. I said, well, babe, if you want, get the contractor out. See like what the options are because we don't know where in the wall this is because A, you might be right. There could have been a fireplace upstairs.
Of course.
Right? There was a fireplace downstairs, but no one upstairs.
Right.
Talk to the neighbor.
So you lowered the camera down into the chimney.
Into the second mystery hole. The second mystery chimney upstairs. Yes.
Okay. So in order to access this, they're going to have to go through the wall.
Through the wall. The guy comes out in the morning. Contractor. Love them. They get there at 7 in the morning.
Sure.
They have to survey the scene. They had never mentioned anything about a second fireplace. They all said, there might have been an old boiler here or something. I was like,
it could be anything that's going to it's going to need a vent.
Boiler's in the back. Everything's in the back. And they're all Smurf sized. Like, this is huge for something, for this, a size this house, of this house, right?
Three apples tall.
He says, all right, well, we're going to have to see if we can see anything, any heat or any gas coming. Because this is such an old house. This little air vent could be for our neighbor. We just don't realize it, right? So if we cut it open, because all these houses are connected one way or another.
Mm-hmm. I drink your milkshake. Sorry. It's the neighbor's house. Using your exhaust pipe.
Two contractors the last 2 days have come over. The first guy wanted to charge us $4,500.
What?
Yes.
To get the dead animal?
To get the dead animal. I send them packing as soon as he said that, right? Second guy came out, $2,500. And I said, Shannon, We're going to do what A. Tony said, is put a fan inside the fireplace and let whatever vent out, vent out. That's all we're going to do.
We got a break. We got to finish this story.
Yes.
We'll finish this story, get a little news when we come back, because I want to see, is there an end to the story?
Oh, it's decomposing. That's the end. And it smells so like it. Somebody murdered somebody in my house.
Is the fan working, though, to keep this stuff going out as opposed to coming
it's
in?
It's better than it was before.
All right. Good.
Shockingly enough, you put a fan in your fireplace and all the gook kind of gets sucked out somehow.
Yeah.
And no big flies yet, Mike. No big flies yet.
Wrap this up. We'll get news to me you may not need. You're listening to the Mike O'Mara Show, and I'm throwing up in my mouth.
Hello, this is Alexa, the voice of Amazon Echo. I love servicing all of Oscar's friends, and unlike that Siri, I can pronounce compulsive. If you want to find out about all the sexiest new tech, listen to Tech 411 on the More Network and buy me through the Amazon link on MikeOmaraShow.com. Buy a t-shirt.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Lost My Name. It's summertime. School is out, so it's a great time to make sure that your kids keep up with their reading. And your kids are going to love to read when they find a book that's all about them. Oh, did my guy love this? My little guy loves this book. With the books from Lost My Name, that's exactly what you're going to get. They will love it. It is easy to create a personalized Lost My Name book. I did it myself in minutes. Each child's story is based on the letters of their name. So clever, so neat, so fun. Each story is 100% unique, complete with hand-drawn illustrations on every page. They follow the letters of their name throughout the book to discover the story is all about them. And it's not just kids. Somebody sent, I think Dirk sent Carla a book about Carla. It was hysterical. You can do this for adults as well. It's great for birthdays, the Lost My Name books, baby showers, a perfect summertime surprise, personalized products that you can make in minutes. Just go to lostmy.name. Remember that. It's kind of an odd website. Lostmy.name. Enter your little one's name and you get a free preview of their story. This is really cool.
Very cool.
Once again, it's an unusual address, lostmy.name. Enter the code TMOS at checkout for 10% off, plus shipping is free worldwide. Visit lostmy.name. Use the TMOS code and do it today. You're going to love it. We've got news you may not need coming up in just a second, but let's wrap this up. So we have found the dead rat. You have seen it with a camera.
And
you have gotten
Shannon
a quote, 4,500.
Shannon can't live with that. Look, Shannon has dealt with a lot in our 5 years together, right?
Can't imagine that.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that skeeves her out. And I see where she's coming from. But in my eyes, is like, we've dealt with dead animals my entire life, whether it was in Olney or it was in my old apartment and condos. Like, this,
right.
Things happen, right?
Sure.
This is part of being a homeowner. You just got to get over it and move on.
So what are you doing?
She's actively searching for like these spear guns. So, and she sends me links to them so we could
spear guns,
like
so you can like skewer,
so we can harpoon
the
tuchus and then drag it up.
Because
he can't go down with three barrels, not with three barrels on him.
I'm not kidding.
There's no way other than paying the $4,500, you can't.
Even the $2,500 is too much. Mm-hmm. Because
I wouldn't pay it.
Yeah,
I
no. What they claim is like they have to break through brick and they don't know if it's structural, so they have to deal with all this. I'm not
kind of like your idea of going down the chimney and grabbing it or something.
Yeah, but
like
I don't have anything to grab. Mike, I can just see it. I just can't grab it, right?
From the top of the hole,
25 feet down.
It's 25 feet.
Yeah.
Wow.
You ever seen those things? And I think they're called screw grabbers. And they're
four
like
light bulbs.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like a clog game.
Will not work because it's too big to get down that hole.
No, but there are tiny ones that are almost like little bits of like a flexible pipe that they're for grabbing screws. I don't know how long they go.
You know what?
But obviously, I know that you save the receipt, you pull the
rat.
You've
got
you
a spear
it.
Gun, get me. Get at
obviously,
me.
To be continued, we will
get
an update on this.
I would love to spear it and pull it up. I think that'll be a feat of feats.
I have a tip. I have a tip for you. I know who you can call.
Who?
James Cameron.
Thank you.
He's king of the world.
Right?
A whale harpoon.
That'd be kind of fun. Anyway, John McEnroe thinks Serena Williams is the best female. My thing's not too loud, is it?
No,
is
you sound okay? Great. Sorry. You sound great.
He thinks Serena Williams is the best female tennis player, but he says if she played against men, she'd be ranked 700th. Now, listen, I smell a bit of a rat, battle of the sexes rat here, pardon the pun, with this story, because here's what Serena tweeted about McEnroe's comment. She writes, "Dear John, I adore and respect you, but please, please, keep me out of your statements that are not factually based. I've never played anyone ranked there, nor do I have time. Respect me and my privacy as I'm trying to have a baby. Good day, sir. Who thinks there could be a match between the two, like a battle of the sexes?
Of course.
I do,
absolutely.
Right?
And isn't there a movie about to come out that heralds that the Bobby
Billie
Riggs
Jean
and
King
Billie Jean
against
King
Bobby Riggs.
Right.
I'm old enough to remember
that's a
that
big
battle.
Payday waiting for him.
Yeah, and he's old now, so. Isn't he? Can he still play?
I mean, he probably would play her just for the publicity, right?
Sure.
I think it would be worthwhile. I think he's in great shape.
I don't think Serena would play him, though.
You don't
what
think
does she
so?
Have to prove?
She doesn't have anything to prove.
Paycheck.
It just would be... It sounds
she doesn't
to me,
need it. Jeez.
It sounds to me like they're having a fun little battle and
okay.
It might be something fun. That's
Yeah.
Who knows? Things are getting tight for Charlie Sheen. So tight that he's selling off some major pieces of baseball memorabilia. Babe Ruth's 1927 World Series ring and the 1919 contract that sent him to the Red Sox, sent him from the Red Sox to the Yankees. There are those who might say Charlie's going broke. He's not really working that much these days. Plus, he's paying for HIV treatment and paying off women he allegedly exposed to the virus. In fact, another one sued him just the other day. But Charlie told ESPN, quote, winning. No, he said, quote,
didn't.
I've enjoyed these incredible items for more than two decades, and the time has come. Whatever price it brings is gravy. That's just, you know, I think he's hard up for cash.
Yeah, he needs the cash,
like
yeah. And he'll probably make a killing.
Yeah,
I mean,
so.
I bet.
We'll see. It's sad.
Well, I mean, I think of his multiple $100,000 Mercedes or sports cars being just hurled off cliffs.
Yep.
In L.A., and it would be no big deal to him.
Well, he'd shoot one more episode.
Yeah, just
and
nuts.
Pay for it, yeah.
Yeah, he's not there anymore. On a recent podcast, Jay Leno opened up about David Letterman, Conan O'Brien, and Jimmy Fallon. He admits that Johnny Carson wanted Letterman to succeed him on the Tonight Show. Well, I'm glad he admits it because everybody knew it anyway.
Sure.
Jay got the job because Dave, quote, had a tough relationship with NBC. Yeah, not like me, not like Jay. Jay.
I'll speak at the upfronts, sure.
Leno said he never felt Dave was mean to him. It's just that he's quirky. Yeah. Can you hear Jay's voice during
God.
These quotes here?
He's Absolutely. Saying everything guy. About himself. He's the quirky one, right?
He is the quirky one. Yeah. Letterman's just kind of normal, retiring out of Montana, just kind of enjoying life. Even when Letterman turned down an offer to do something for Jay's show, he told Jay, quote, nah, I'm just not comfortable. That's your night. I don't want to do it. Then when Letterman's team asked Jay if he wanted to be a part of Dave's final show, he felt the same way. Quote, you know, Dave didn't do mine and it worked out fine. So, I mean, okay, Jay, which means there's a feud there.
Yes.
What
that's
about
the way
that Doritos
works.
Commercial?
You can't, that's a, you know, you
Wasn't
you
there a
it.
Doritos commercial
yeah,
in the Super Bowl?
Super
right,
Bowl, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As for the Conan situation, Jay said he was blindsided in 2004 when NBC told him they were booting him in favor of Conan in 2009. And, of course, when the time came, Leno wasn't ready to leave. Then came the debacle with the Jay Leno show, Conan leaving and Jay getting Tonight back, and once again being labeled the villain of late night.
That is
he says,
so
quote,
rife with lies.
Yeah.
Ugh.
He says, quote, I sort of smile when I read about how I conspired. I mean, if I'm that smart, how did I lose the show in the first place? You know. So it's Jay just still being Jay.
And you know what's great? How about being blindsided 5 years in advance?
Yeah,
that
exactly.
You can't be blindsided with 5 years.
You know what?
He wanted to come back.
I forgot how much I hated him, and now I watched his car show. I'm going to continue watching because I have no scruples.
Yeah.
But I'll say
the car show, the debut car show, I think when they rolled the car, was one of the most amazing viral videos I've ever seen.
Fun.
When they actually rolled it. As for Jimmy Fallon, his Tonight Show seems to be climbing in the ratings again after losing a lot of ground to Stephen Colbert's Late Show. Leno thinks it's because Trump fatigue is setting in, and I would say that's one thing I agree on.
Yeah,
I think that's why Fallon's coming back. People are getting a little burned on the whole thing. But it's so Jay, that whole
he's quirky.
You know? Yeah. More than 5,000 people voted online, and here they are, the top 10 ice cream flavors ranked from 10 to 1. Are you ready?
Go.
Ready.
Feel free to comment at will. Number 10, peanut butter cup.
I still love it. Once
I like
in a
it.
While.
Can't eat it,
really?
But I love it.
Big
yeah.
I'm alone on that one. Number 9 is coffee. Standard
like
coffee ice cream.
I like coffee ice cream. Excellent.
Coffee ice cream. Yeah, I like that. Number 8, Rocky Road.
Overrated.
Never a big fan of Rocky
I think
Road.
It's overrated. I think it was. It came in early because it was one of the first to include
the mix
ingredients, but not very good. Yeah.
Number 7. French vanilla. If they'd lumped it in with regular vanilla, it probably would have come in first. They're different, though. Real French vanilla ice cream has eggs in it.
As a kid, ooh. I was a French vanilla kid.
Also, French vanilla surrenders.
Number 6, thank you, Rob.
Zing.
Never forget. Number 6, regular chocolate chip.
Sure.
Nah.
Number 5, strawberry.
Oh, the best. Oh, yeah. I love strawberry.
I felt like strawberry was always like a feminine flavor.
Well, look at me in my dress.
Rob, I think you like this. Neapolitan with vanilla chocolate and strawberry came in 12th, just in case you were curious.
Or as they used to call it in my neighborhood in Richmond, Napoleon ice cream.
Napoleon ice cream. Number four is mint chocolate chip. That is my favorite.
Solid.
Mint chocolate chip.
Go to.
Number three, standard vanilla. Number two, chocolate. And number one, ladies and gentlemen, is cookies and cream.
Yes.
No.
You cannot go wrong. I've never tasted a bad cookies and cream.
Mint chocolate chip should be at number one.
Rob, it's a learning curve for me up here. Send me a timpani.
Oh.
Send me Rob Spiewak a timpani.
Timpani
for ye.
Thank you very much. Got to rush through these. A new study out of University of Texas found when we're just in the same room as our smartphones, it instantly makes us dumber. I'm not going to continue. I agree with that. Absolutely. And now, a little something-something. A local news crew in Albuquerque was doing a report on a crime wave last week when they got the ultimate piece of evidence. As the crew from Albuquerque's NBC affiliate was in downtown getting footage for their crime story, someone stole their news van.
No.
The cops tracked it down about a half hour later using the GPS device inside of the truck. The thief had abandoned it, but he or she had damaged the van in the process, and now the cops are trying to track them down. Might I suggest checking the residence of a Mr. Walter White? Thank you very much. It's all about Breaking Bad. Yeah. Mike, can you mention the location that I'll be at? Thank you, boys. I have to go now.
I'm on Instagram.
Jonathan
Goldsmith. I just followed him.
I banged Ginger from Gilligan's Island. Mm. We'll take a break and come back with the abbreviated audio ball right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, Sanjeev. What are you doing?
I'm calling the Mike O'Mara Show. It is Wide Open Wednesday.
Oh, but what are you going to ask?
Shut up, Raj. I'm on the line.
Hello, caller. You're on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, Mr. Mike. My name is Sanjeev. I'm calling from Mumbai. I want to know, if you could only have one snack for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Family gourmet prunes.
Thanks for calling, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
Wide Open Wednesday. Call 1-888-920-6673. Lines open at 9 a.m.
That's awesome. Hey, folks, I have to tell you something. We're getting some great bands on the website, and we're kind of winding down. We're probably going to start whittling things down in the month of July, so be aware, musicians. There's still time. November 4th, 2017, at the House of Blues in New Orleans, Louisiana, you could be the opening act for TMOS Live and NOLA. Just send us a note and a video sample of your band's music, and you could be on stage with us, band at MikeOMaraShow.com. That's where you want to send it. That address, again, is band at MikeOMaraShow.com, or click the TMOS Live button on our website. We're the kind of generous guys that want to make you successful.
Helpers, givers, nice. Mike.
It's your first step to superstardom. Remember, band at MikeOMaraShow.com. Contact us. We want to share a stage with you. Speaking of sharing a stage.
What are you laughing at?
Once you pop in.
Why don't you just
come. I know, just for a second. Come on.
Carla?
Somebody's. Are you in your bathrobe?
Oh, God. Man.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on over here.
Ustream day.
Just say hi.
Ustream.
Ustream. Come on.
Come on, Carla.
Just for a second. You just got out of the shower. Come over here, please.
Oh, my God.
Please. I'm exploiting you.
What are you doing?
Yes, I am. I'll pick the camera up and follow you with it.
POV.
That'll end up in court.
You look really lovely. What?
And one day pulled
your
the camera
wet,
out.
So your hair is wet. You just got out of the shower. I want to see.
We'll settle for torso.
Come on over here.
Torso.
Carla just got out of the shower. She's coming by.
Hi, Carla.
Hey, Carla.
You got to lean in.
Oh, peekaboo. There we go.
Oh, my God. I have the same robe.
Mike, don't do it to her. Don't do it to her. Mike, we just saved you. We just say, oh, he's going to do it.
Oh, God.
There she is. Oh. Mike, you're a lucky man. You're a lucky man.
Yeah.
Ask her how she stays so
healthy.
I have
a beautiful wife.
Maine agrees with her, Mike.
Yes.
I have to share it. Hi. It's me. It's me, the invalid. Thank you.
Remember to come back when your hair is dry to help him down the steps.
Thank you, darling. Thank you, Rob.
It's so true.
Otherwise, he's, I'm in the studio still, and it's hot.
I've fallen. I can't get up. Rob, do you have some sounds by any chance? Do you have some moose sounds?
My lips are cracked from dryness.
Hey, they are. Dehydrated. That's why I'm drinking the cartoon-sized water. This
I think I know the answer to this. Who is the most famous high school graduate from your high school?
Candace Bushnell.
And you might be in second.
Or Amy Brenneman.
Oh, Amy Brenneman came from your high school? I didn't know that. Do you have anyone famous from your high school?
No. No. Nothing I know of. Myself.
I don't think
Oscar
anyone.
Oscar Santana.
I don't think anyone really notable from Madison High School, but Hicksville High School in Long Island, Billy Joel, although he didn't graduate. So they brought him back for commencement, and he wanted to clear up the fact that why he does not have a diploma.
I know that it said I didn't graduate because I didn't have the English credit. I didn't fail English. I just didn't go.
So he never completed his high school career because he just didn't go to English. So, look what you got. How did you do that? How you do that?
Always thinking, I'm sorry.
Timpani machine.
Sorry about that.
Timpani machine. Yesterday we talked about Brad Paisley, the Licorice Hat country singer that has a comedy special. Mm-hmm. Well, all these country singers are branching out now. There's a guy named Tyler Fire, who is now doing a web video broadcast where he answers questions and gives advice. Oscar, this applies to you. Someone said, Tyler, what about hangovers?
Hangovers happen. They're a real thing. Hangovers are real. Unfortunately, when you hit the age of 25, 26, 27, 28, or 33 like me, they hurt a little worse. And you sometimes feel like you have a case of the hatchet head.
Hatchet
head. You don't understand that. That means like you got hit in the head with a hatchet.
That's thank you for the explanation.
Perrier.
Know your audience.
Sparkling water, LaCroix. Steez has been doing it for me lately.
Hold on. He's such a mumbler. What is he saying?
He's saying sparkling water and tea, but what's important is about to happen right here.
Okay. All right.
And Pedialyte seems to help the problem.
There he is.
Thank you. Mike, they've come out with adult Pedialyte now. The movement has finally happened.
This is the hangover cure? It's
not the cure. It's just prep and a little aftermath.
So what makes senior Pedialyte different? A more mature flavor?
I think I think it would be cheaper in the long run. Right now, I kill an entire bottle of Pedialyte, right?
Yes.
Prior or after?
Before and after, Mike.
Kill a bottle of Pedialyte.
Yeah, because I know I'm about to take out my essential electrolytes. I'm going to need them a little later.
When you bought the Gatorade from Julia at the beer thing, that was anticipatory.
No, that was, I did.
During.
I did during the actual process.
That's the best time to
not
do it.
Not the best time. You want to do it before and after, right?
See, the bad move here, though, is your pre-drinking hydration needs to be an all-day thing.
That's fair.
You can't do it all at once.
Pedialyte's a shock to the system. Now, I'm no doctor. Read the instructions. But if adult Pedialyte has hit the market. I have not tried it yet. It's not in my local CVS, but I will find it.
It's called adult Pedialyte because there's naked breasts on the label.
X-rated adult Pedialyte. But the bottom line, Oscar, with Pedialyte is you knock a bottle of it down when you have the hangover.
Yeah, and I would say with adult Pedialyte, maybe a quarter of a bottle and a quarter after might get you where you got to be.
All right, let's close with this as the show runs a little long today. They asked on Fox and Friends yesterday if Ivanka Trump ever advises her father.
I advise my father on a plethora of things, so,
Well said, which made me think of this.
Would you say I have a plethora of piñatas?
A what?
A plethora.
Oh, yes. You have a plethora.
Jefe, what is a plethora?
Why, guapo?
Well, you told me I have a plethora. And I just would like to know if you know what a plethora is. I would not like to think that a person would tell someone he has a plethora and find out that that person has no idea what it means to have a plethora.
You gotta know it means it's a lot of stuff, Mike. That is your magic audio vault. Have a great Tuesday, everybody.
Did I get it right?
You closed it, Mike.
Perfect.
We
closed it, right? That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode of TMOS. Don't forget to update our brand new app today and unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. All messages for our weekly mailbag can be sent to Rob with two B's at MikeOMaraShow.com. Our mailing address is TMOS Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thanks for listening and join us again for the best part of your day. The Mike O'Mara Show. We leave you with the song stylings of the man from Long Island Rob was talking about, William Joel. One last thing.
Please remember that MikeOMeraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMeraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Well, Mike O'Mara, like Radio Entertainment.
Take a holiday from